Amen. If you would turn to Proverbs 11:23, we continue our journey through this chapter. Proverbs 11:23 reads this way: "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." Now, I'm sure that you've heard on many occasions that God deals in absolutes, right and wrong, good and evil. This is what we see in the scriptures, absolutes. God speaks of righteousness, and he speaks of wickedness as if these things cannot dwell together, but are always separate. But think on the fact that in this body dwelleth no good thing. But we also know that God's Spirit dwells in every believer, and God's Spirit never directs evil. Now, Paul spoke passionately about this condition which occurs upon salvation. For upon salvation, God imparts to every person a nature which opposes the nature in which he was born, that sinful nature of every man, woman, boy, or girl. He introduces a new nature in opposition to that old nature, the nature that you were born with. So God, in his infinite wisdom, introduces a struggle within his children, a struggle between the old nature and the new nature. Now, right there's a lesson, parents. You know, so many of us as parents don't want our children to struggle, and we enter into their lives so they don't have to struggle. And yet God here, in his infinite wisdom, introduces to his children immediately that which causes a struggle. Now, God doesn't love his children. We know that God loves his children and that God has infinite wisdom, and therefore we know that that struggle is good. Now, the old nature is a nature of wickedness, for it is without God. It is at arm's length with God. No God for me. That's the old nature. But the new nature is a nature of righteousness, for it is a nature given by God. Now, our proverb speaks of these two natures as it categorizes men into two groups, the righteous and the wicked. Now, the wicked only have one nature, that nature with which they were born. But the righteous, while in this natural body, have two natures, the one with which they were born, but they also have a new nature, a nature that was born of the Spirit at the new birth. Now, Paul spoke eloquently in Romans 7 about the two natures that affected his desires. You can almost see the battle in that passage. You can almost feel the battle that Paul was having with these natures that God had given him. He desired to do good and desired not to do evil, but was caught betwixt the two, and he found in him a law that when he would do good, evil was present in him. Those two natures, that struggle was going on in Paul. In this, he spoke of the struggle that God had brought into his life, a struggle which was to be won only by relying on God's indwelling Spirit, who would bring life to God's fighting weapon, his own word, which we know of as the sword of the Spirit. Now, God introduces struggle into your life so that you learn to depend upon Him. You know, the old nature cares nothing about depending upon God. The old nature says, I can do it myself. The old nature says to a Christian, all you do is have crutches. Well, I need a crutch. I'm crippled. I'm blind. I'm without hope. I'm without strength. And I realize that I need a crutch. And God provides. But you know that struggle, that lesson of struggle that you introduce into your children's lives is so good for them. But in this case, God introduces it so that you depend upon Him. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He just doesn't end there. He puts into your life things that bring you to trust in Him. You know, I've been saved over 40 years. And through that 40 years, I've learned every step along the way, greater trust, greater trust, greater trust. I've had struggles in my life. We've all had struggles in our lives. But those struggles have brought us to a point where we trust in God and depend upon Him. Why does He do that? Because that's best for us. That's how it's going to be. That's how eternity will be, where we trust in God. So Paul spoke of this struggle. And Paul concluded his discourse with praise by thanking God that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his new nature would be victorious. You know, you have that struggle between the old nature and the new nature, but you know there's going to be a knockout punch. The old nature will be on the deck. The referee will come up and count one all the way to 10. The bout's over. So there will be victory in the struggle. So the lesson here is that while we are in the flesh, we have two natures within, both armed to do battle. They both have boxing gloves on. They both have swords. They both have all kinds of tricks to take on the other. The flesh, of course, comes armed naturally. You know, that baby that you have is already armed. You don't have to train that baby at all, Nathan. All the arms of battle are within that baby. The flesh is armed naturally, and it does not have to be trained. However, the new nature, the Spirit made alive by God's Spirit, must be trained to do battle with the weapon that God provides, God's word, God's sword. You know, this is a training session. You know? Your weapons are dull. You get into the Bible. You study the Bible. You hone your weapons. I got to sharpen my weapon because the flesh weapon is always sharp. Don't you find that to be true? The flesh never sleeps. It's armed naturally, so you have to be trained to do battle with the weapon of God's word. Now, that is why, if we have a new nature, we must be armed for that nature to be victorious. Now, what does this mean as far as our proverb is concerned? Now, the first part of this proverb speaks of our new nature, for it speaks of the righteous. Now, the new nature is righteous, for our new nature was born of the Spirit of God. Now, you want to talk about your righteousness? You're made that way. Their old nature was born with the nature of man, the nature of Adam, and because of Adam's sin, it is not a righteous nature. Therefore, God can say with absolute certainty that the desire of the righteous is only good. You think about that statement. That's an absolute statement. And you say, well, boy, that sure doesn't apply to me. Yeah, it does. If you got a new nature. That new nature is guided by God. And he can say with absolute certainty that the desire of the righteous is only good. This means that the desire of your new nature is only good, for your new nature is the nature of God, and God is good. You see the connection? If your desire does not produce good, it is because you have let the old nature rule, for the old nature is wicked and does not produce good. So that's what we're talking about here. This is an absolute statement. The desire of the righteous is only good. Your new nature does not make deals with your old nature. It does not accommodate your old nature, for your old nature wishes to satisfy the flesh. This is the mode of operation of your old nature. Now, a righteous man, a man whose new nature is in control, has a helper in not allowing the flesh and the carnal mind to show itself, for he has been born of the Spirit. You know, we have a helper. That new nature has a helper. Paul speaks of this struggle in Romans 8, 10 through 16. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, that new nature, that quickened spirit, you know, you're dead in sin. The old nature is dead in sin. God comes upon you, gives you birth in the Spirit. So that new nature, that quickened spirit, now has desires in conformance with God's desires. See, you're brought into a whole new world of desires. The title of my message is God Changes Your Wanter. You know, there's no such word in the dictionary as wanter. I looked it up on Google. I said, God changes your wanter. Google said, I think you mean God changes your water. Didn't recognize it, see? Like he's my water boy. No, but he changes your wanter. You know, your desires change if you're a Christian. You no longer desire the things of the flesh. That new nature now delights in the God who created the new nature, and therefore any desires that the new nature brings forth pleases God. That new nature brings forth desires that please God. The psalmist David knew this when he penned under the inspiration of that same Spirit in Psalm 34:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Look at that predecessor to the next phrase. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Say, delight in the Lord. How do you delight in the Lord? You delight with your new nature. And God says, give that man what he desires because it's within my will. You know, Jesus Christ expounded about this delight when he told his disciples that he is the vine and they were the branches. This is the kind of connection where delight takes place. Just think about that. He's the vine, we're the branches, we're connected to the vine, and this is where delight takes place. Branches delight in the sap which flows to them from the vine in order for them to bring fruit. You know, if the branches could speak on the fruit tree, as the sap courses up from the vine into the branches, you'd hear applause. Oh, this is so good. I love this sap. Now I can take this sap and I can bring forth fruit. You know, don't you think a branch is happy about bringing forth fruit? Who wants to be a branch that doesn't bring forth fruit? You know? So a branch that's not connected to the vine is dead. And how can that delight? It's dead. But Jesus told them of the delight of connected branches when he said in the same passage in John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then what? Well, it's the same thing that David said in his psalm. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know what that means? Delight in the Lord. That's what that means. Same thing that David said. What happens then? Ye shall ask what ye will. You see, in other words, your desires are going to be right. You're going to have the right desires. And it shall be done unto you, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, how can God be so giving? How can God say to sinners, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you? Well, the answer is that he is not saying this to sinners. God doesn't speak to the dead. He speaks to the living. He is saying this to the righteous. He is saying this to the new nature which he has created in a new creature. That's who he's talking to. He is saying this to those who are in Christ Jesus. In essence, he is saying this to his Son. You know, you're in Christ. I'm in Christ. We're all in Christ as the body of Christ. And God speaks to us. He's speaking to his Son. And he says, Son, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And that's why he can say that to us. He is not saying this to the old nature, for the old nature does not delight in the Lord. You know, try to gin up your old nature to delight in the Lord. Try to gin it up. Try to work at it. You can't do it. Doesn't delight in the Lord. The old nature does not abide in Christ. God's word does not abide in the old nature, for God's words are enmity to it. The old nature does not have desires that please God, nor does the old nature do good. So God speaks to the new nature, And God arms the new nature, which asks what it will. And therefore, God can say, it shall be done unto you. And therefore, our proverb says, the desire of the righteous is only good. See how that all connects together? So a righteous man, by the power of God's indwelling spirit, will not allow the desires of the flesh and of the mind to rule, but instead will only have desires in accordance with God's word. See how the new nature works? It's connected to God through Christ. Now, but on this side of glory, the struggle continues. And we are prone to feed the old nature and keep it active. But the righteous man's wish is that God keep him from desires inconsistent with God's will, for God's will is only good. You know, I still remember some of my childhood. It's amazing, as you get up in years, how things like that fade. But I still remember my childhood, where my mother told me, and I imagine these same words were told you when you were a child, this is for your own good. You ever hear those words? This is for your own good. She said, you must eat your peas because this is for your own good. You know, I think she even said that about liver. Yeah, she said it about squash. All those mediocre things. But she said, keep up your grades in school and behave, for it is for your own good. You know, I didn't usually agree with my mom, but I didn't have the wisdom of my mom. I didn't like peas. I still don't like peas much. Any peas that I have, I kind of like the canned peas. We were raised on canned peas. This was before frozen foods. I'm old. But I didn't like peas. I didn't like to do my homework. And I didn't like to behave. You know, I was just part of the old nature. But my mother had my best interests in mind, for she had already traveled the road on which I was traveling. You know, she was further down the road. And when you're further down the road, you can say, watch out for that pothole. Watch out for that crack in the concrete. She knew what was along that road and what I was to meet along that road. She knew best. And it was for my own good that she gave me instructions. You know, God knows infinitely better than any of his children what is best, what is good. And the new nature delights in that knowledge. You know, the new nature can't wait to find out about the potholes. The new nature can't wait to eat its peas and to do its homework. God's Spirit, which indwells your spirit, knows what is best, knows what the desires of your heart should be, and helps you to have the desires that only result in good. Paul writes of this in Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, you got infirmities, don't you? The Spirit knows that. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We come in here and we pray and we think we know what we need to pray for. But the Bible tells us we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see what's happening there? You have desires, but God says, you don't even know what you should desire. I'm going to have my Spirit intercede for you. God is sovereign, and with that sovereignty comes an assurance that the desire of the righteous will always result in what is good for them. So unknown to us, I can't hear those groanings, but unknown to us, unknown to God's children, is God's Spirit making intercession for us according to the will of God. He says to God, your child needs this or that. It is best for your child. He doesn't know it, but I know it. And in a truly righteous state, he would have that desire. He would know it. The struggle for your child is that he knows not what he should pray for. Your child does not perfectly know what the desires of his heart should be, but I know, and I come and make intercession for him in order that all things work together for good to them that love you. See how the Holy Spirit works to bring this about. Now, what do you do for your child? Don't you know that your child should have desires for good? Don't you say, why don't you do good? Well, you might come in and intercede for that child and bring it about. You know, think about your child's needs when they are babes. For they do not think about their needs. Did you know that? This baby doesn't think about his needs except food. I want some food. Wah, wah, wah. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And she makes that known. But does she think about the blanket that she needs to keep warm? Does the baby say, I need a blanket, Daddy? Somebody else has got to have that desire for her. Does he or she care about a safe crib where she will not fall out? You got to have the bars a certain distance so they don't get their head in. Somebody else has to think of that desire. How about this? Does your child desire the rod at times for his or her own good? I did bad. I want the rod. Have you ever had that happen? Give me the rod. I'm bending over. I'm presenting the proper picture. No. You have to have those desires for his or her good. Their desires are not that which brings about good in their lives, so you intercede for them and desire for them that good may come to them. Don't you do that as parents? Don't you intercede and make requests or do things for them that they should desire? And this is what God desires for the righteous, and therefore can say that the desire of the righteous is only good, for he brings this about, for this is his work. You know, God is good. God is so good. I try to say that every day. Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good to us. You daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, if all of us could be shown carrying the benefits that God gives us, we'd all have a big, big, big sack. Huge sack. A semi-truck full of benefits. But God is good, and his will is that good be done through his children. You know, God's will for you is that you do good. Aren't the righteous being conformed to the image of his son? Isn't the desire of his son only good? Didn't he say at the age of 12, I must be about my father's business? And isn't his father's business doing good? Therefore, our proverb rightly concludes, that the desire of the righteous is only good, for the Creator of the righteous will make it so. Now, we have a contrast in this proverb as regards the wicked. For what's the difference between the wicked and the righteous? They're bound in their old nature, are they not? You know, there is nothing good about the old man, for the old man is bound in sin. That old nature we call the old man. And the Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know, if you're not a believer and you read that, you say, well, good grief, a man can't even plow. But that's what the Bible says. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So therefore, our proverb tells us that the only thing that can come about with regard to the wicked is wrath. There's nothing left. If you're wicked, if you're in your old nature, the only thing left for you is wrath, for even the plowing of the wicked is in opposition to God. You know, if you're not in Christ, you're opposed to God. That's just the status, the normal status of the sinner. They're opposed to God. There is nothing left for the wicked but wrath, for they oppose the goodness of God in not desiring the will of God for their lives. And there is no goodness outside the will of God. Did you know that? No goodness outside the will of God. God is good. And if you are not in God, there is no good for you, for outside of God dwelleth no good thing. You know, the Israelites were given the command, here's manna, eat as much manna as you wish. But you know, they grew tired of God's provision and they lusted after flesh. They thought back on the things of Egypt. You know, they didn't think about the slavery in Egypt. They didn't think about the bricks that they had to make without straw. They didn't think about the whips that caused their backs to bleed and scar. But they thought about the things that they ate in Egypt. We remember the fish. They thought about the fish from the Nile, which we did eat in Egypt freely. They thought about the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They looked at the manna with disgust, and they thought about what they had in slavery. God's provision wasn't good enough. Their desires were for their own provision. I need to provide myself. They longed for the things that they left in Egypt. They longed for the things of the old man. You know, God gave them their expectations, and it fattened up the flesh. But you know, the Bible says it brought leanness to the soul. You know, God is a father that cares about your soul. Yeah, he cares about your flesh, but you know, in your flesh, you're not going to keep this body forever. My body's starting to wear out. Your body's starting to wear out. That little baby's body is starting to wear out. But while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. So the lesson here, of course, is to test our desires against the will of God as expressed in his word. God loves the righteous, for they are righteous only because of his Son, and God has plans for his children, and all of his plans result in good. You know, he told the exiled Israelites of his plans for them upon their return to the promised land, and I think we can apply this to our lives if we are in his Son. In Jeremiah 29, and I'll end here with 11 and 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know, one of these days that old nature is going to be truly banished. The referee will count to 10, won't get up. The new nature will raise his hands in victory, and the belt will be put around, the winning belt. The old nature will never get up. The struggle will be over, for God will be victorious in the lives of his children, and every desire of his children will be in accordance with God's word. You know, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's what he's talking about. Every one of our desires will truly be in accordance with God's will. Father, thank you so much for teaching us today. Thank you for feeding us the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for giving us a new nature that is in love with you. And we pray, Father, that we might love you with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. Give us a wonderful service this morning. Bless our pastor as he speaks to us from your lovely word. And help us, Lord, to feed on that word, that our new nature will be fed, well fed, fit for the battle. In Jesus' name, amen.